The Lord be with you. So we've been working through our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and last week we finished chapter 6, and well, today we are going to be taking a brief pause on our series, and we're going to be taking some time to be thankful. And some of you are thankful that I'm taking a break from the series, maybe. But this week we do have the holiday that many of us are going to be celebrating, which is entitled Thanksgiving. And so I thought I would share a message that is focused on being forever thankful. And the key text that I'm going to be sharing with you all today is the final verse of the psalm that I read in the call to worship this morning out of Psalm 30. And it says, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to you, and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." So Psalm 30 is a psalm written by King David. And as many of you are aware, King David is kind of a complex figure in the scriptures. He seems to do a lot of really, really good things at times, and you're like, wow, this is a really strong, godly man, a man of God, you know, the man after God's own heart. But then there's other times that you're like, wow, David really messed up. Like, he's probably worse than anybody I've ever met before. He's done things that would scandalize the city of Carterville, right? Yeah. So, I mean, David's pretty complex, but I think this psalm is kind of helpful in unifying the person of King David, because what you see throughout it is you see him kind of going back and forth between him recognizing his folly, his sinfulness, his ways of rebellion, and he talks about how he has forgotten that God's providence was enough for him, and he started to be boastful. And maybe some of you are aware of the times where he's like looking at his kingdom and he's thinking, wow, I did all of this. And he starts to like think, I'm going to take a census to see how many people that I rule over and all of the wealth that I have accumulated. And so we see some of that there where he sees God actually rebuking him and punishing him for that. But we also see times where he starts to praise the Lord for delivering him from his enemies and bringing him from sickness to health. And at the end of this psalm, he really is kind of the climax of worship, the climax of thanksgiving that he gives in this. And I'll just read it again, and I'm going to even read verse 11. He says, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." And then he says, "To the end that my glory," or another translation say, "my heart, to the end of my being, my will," he says, "will sing praise to you." And then it says, "and not be silent." So this is, he's saying, I've seen my ways, I've seen my life, and after all of this, you have been the one who has delivered me, provided for me, and you still give me mercy day by day. And he says, I will not be silent about that. I am going to shout it from the rooftops that you are a good God, a God of mercy. And he says, "Oh Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever." David is saying, as a follower of the one true God, we are to be forever thankful, to thank God every single day. So with that being kind of our leading focus for this message today, and this is more of a devotional message than maybe a more detailed exegetical message that I typically will share with you all, but I just want to share with you some just practical things when it comes to being thankful, or what it means to have gratitude, and how are we as Christians who follow the Lord, how are we to consider our lives, consider our circumstances. And so with that, the first thing I'd like to share is that our attitude should be gratitude. It even rhymes for you if you're someone that likes to try to remember a little pithy saying, right? Our attitude should be gratitude. And you can fill this in on our bulletins. We have an interactive outline. If you'd like to take notes, you're welcome to do that. So as Christians, we should think about the way that we think and act and feel towards the world, towards our lives, towards one another with a sense of gratitude. And gratitude, if you just look at a simple definition for the word gratitude, it means gratitude is the quality of being thankful. Readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. Now, if you were with us last week, you would know that we had, like, as I said, just finished chapter 6 of Sermon on the Mount. And the last part of chapter 6 of the Sermon on the Mount is constantly reminding the church not to worry. And Jesus says it, do not worry. He says it 3 times. And we talked about how the Christian life should never be a life that is of worry or anxiousness or stress or any of these things. Rather, we are to trust in the Lord. And I think it's kind of helpful if you think of this, even though this isn't technically within the Sermon on the Mount, this is a really good part 2 to do not worry. Because worry and gratitude are really opposites if you think about it. Because worry, what is it? I gave the definition last week. It's dwelling on the negative. It's dwelling on your troubles, the problems of your life, all the stress. You just continue to think about it, ponder it, allow it to just consume your life, right? But gratitude, as we see in this definition, it's the exact opposite. It's the quality of being thankful. It means that you are dwelling on the good things. You are dwelling on the blessings that God has given us. So I think that's how we can kind of think of this. If you think of do not worry is the command to not dwell on the bad things, and gratitude is dwelling on the blessings and the goodness of God, I think that can kind of help us as we transition from last message to today's message. And so when we think then about gratitude being the opposite of worry, I think what we realize then is that gratitude is a choice. Sometimes we don't realize that. Sometimes we can be in a bad mood and you're like, you might have someone say to you, well, you just need to be thankful for what you've given. And you're just like, you refuse to, no, I'm mad. I'm not going to be thankful right now. Right? Today's not the day to be thankful, but it's actually a choice. The way that you handle your circumstances, the way that you think about things, right, where your heart goes, that actually impacts on everything else in your life. See, our attitude, it affects our entire being. Have you ever been like in a point where you are starting to worry? You're starting to be anxious? You're starting to get really, really upset or mad about something going on? And then you see how you relate to others, right? You immediately start to be a little bit more short, right? You're not very kind sometimes. Sometimes someone might say something and normally you'd let it slide, but because you're in a bad mood that day, you're going to get them this time, right? There are times that this happens, and a lot of times it has to do with when we choose not to be thankful or we choose not to have gratitude. And I found this great quote that I think is really good for this message, and it says, "It is not happy people who are thankful. It is thankful people who are happy." I want to say that again. It is not happy people who are thankful. It is thankful people who are happy. See, I think God is calling us to gratitude. He's reminding us to worship Him, to serve Him, to thank Him, because He knows not only does it glorify Him, but it also benefits us. It benefits us in our relationships. It benefits us in our fellowship and communion with the Lord. But also just in a practical level, we know that gratitude can help you physically. It's going to help you not get into, as we talked about with worry and stress, you can get sick, right? You can have heart issues, right? All these different things that come with angst and worry. But with gratitude, there is this peace. And we can actually find true happiness in the Lord. But I think even more than these things is that when we show gratitude, what gratitude really does is gratitude reveals our attitude toward God. Are you that person, if you've probably heard this, is the glass, is it half full or half empty? What type of person are you? Some people are thinking that I don't even see a glass in my life right now, right? There's no glass even on the table for me at this point. But how are you thinking about that? What is your attitude towards your life, towards your circumstances, towards your status, your wealth, your job, all of these things? How are you thinking about it? Because the thing is, how your perspective looks at that glass of your circumstances, that actually reveals how you feel about your God. Do you realize that? The way that you think about your life is actually a revelation for how you feel about your Lord and your Savior. Because there is something what is known as the poison of comparison. And I think that we see this more and more, especially with social media today. So many people, you'll go to social media, you'll see everyone has their perfect lives, right? Because that's usually what's shown on social media. It's always the filtered version, right? It's always the, I accomplished this today, I did this, I work here, this is my education background. You see all the perfectness of the world, right? And social media. And so what you can do as you're scrolling and maybe you're not having this success. You're not having these good things. Maybe you're not married yet. Maybe you didn't have the new baby this year. Maybe you didn't get that promotion, right? So you start to read and see this, and you start to compare yourself. And what it does is it really starts to rob you of your joy. It starts to get you stressed and thinking like, oh, am I not doing enough? Am I not worthy? Is my value not as good as these people? These people get all these likes, this attention, these shares. People talk about this person a lot more than they talk about me. See, what it does with social media, and I think it's good for us to hear this and to recognize the benefit but also the danger of social media, is that we cannot buy into the poison of comparison. We need to not look at what is the Lord doing for all of these other people, right? Whether it's filtered or true, right? Because here's the thing. Even those people that show and say that their life's going great, a lot of them, they aren't doing so hot. There's a good picture that I saw that you see the apple, and there's a mirror behind the apple, and it shows you what social media shows, and then behind the apple's like rotted and bitten out and everything like that. That's what you see a lot on social media. People are trying to get attention. They're trying to say, we're doing great. We're very happy. But really, they're dying inside. What we need to do as Christians is not buy into the world, not buy into the media, not buy into entertainment and saying, this is what happiness is, this is what goodness looks like. We need to say, we are thankful for the Lord. Yeah. I need to say, stop looking at what the world is telling me is good. And I need to start thinking, what has God blessed me with? How good is my God? Because here's the thing, I want to say this, and I hope we all will take this away. God has been so good to you. God has been so good to us. And I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to unpack that and show that today. But so, like I said, there might be some of you that you say the glass isn't there and you're thinking, I don't see God being very good right now. I'm hoping that I can reveal how good God has been. James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. What this reveals is that our God, our Father in heaven, the Father of lights, He is the God from whom all blessings flow. Anything good in this entire universe, just anything good at all that you can think of, this is really good. I like this. I love this. I enjoy this. Anything that you think of that is good in this world, God is the giver of that gift. There is nothing in this world that is good that God has not been the author and the giver. Think about that. God has given you everything good. So think about this. Your family. If you have family that you love, that was given to you by God. When you think about just your life, you're alive today, you're breathing, right? God gave you this life. Creation itself, the universe, God gave you that gift. Our health. Think about this. Many of us have gone through this pandemic and some of us have gotten sick, but many of us, we're still living, we're breathing today. So God has given us one more day where there are others that have not been blessed to have one more day. Food. Think about this. Many of us are going to be really excited about Thursday, right? Some people are planning. They've been planning for a month now. All the delicious food. Here's the thing. God gave you taste buds. God could have just made it to where you just ingest, survive, and that's it. But He actually gives us taste buds. He gives us delicious foods, things from the earth that we can actually make, eat, and enjoy together. God gave us delicious food. He gave us water that can quench us, quench our thirst. God is a good God, a good Father who provides. Or sunshine. Just think about the warmth of the sun, the beauty of the sun, going on vacation, enjoying the beach, and looking at the waves, getting a nice tan. These are all gifts from God. Or just beauty in general. God is the author of beauty. God is the source of beauty. So anything beautiful, if you think about art, right? God is the author of beauty. Or music. Some people love music. Some people, they have gotten through difficult seasons of life because of a good song or that right lyric. God is the source of music. Entertainment. God cares about your joy. And He actually provides certain things for us to enjoy in this life. Entertainment is another gift that God gives us. Or think about the church as a whole, our church family here, right? Some people don't have as many family members. Maybe some have passed, or maybe they're just an only child, right? But the church that God has given us, we get to be a family together. We get to love one another. We get together regularly for worship, fellowship, right? God has given us this family. We have been adopted as sons and daughters in Christ. We have a reason to be thankful for the church that God has given us. Or think about Scripture, God's Word. The thing that literally reminds us to be thankful. To remind us of God's goodness. See, sometimes we don't take this to be as valuable as it really is. We've been going through different messages on Sunday school, and one of the things that stuck out was talking about how precious Scripture was. Scripture is like the most precious treasure that we will find on this earth. And God has given it to us. If I think about the saints of the past, you realize in the New Testament, they didn't have all of the Scriptures compiled. We are so blessed that you can literally go on your phone, your Bible app, you have these tabs, you have all of the Scriptures available to you. But some of us, we don't even pick it up. We're not using God's Word in our lives. We're not seeking God's Word, but God has given us this precious gift that gives us life and truth. The media, some of us listen to the media, look at social media all the time. We're getting all of this information that's so false and it brings death. But God gives us His Word and it gives us life. We need to be grateful for the Scriptures. And finally, I want to share salvation. God did not have to save us. God did not have to send Jesus for us. God gave us salvation because God loves you. God loves you. The King of the universe, the one that created everything, the giver of all good gifts, He looked at you, a sinner, and He says, I love you. And I'm going to send my Son to come and seek you out. We have a reason to be thankful, I think. God is a good God. God is a good Father. He is a good giver of gifts. So I just wanted to, I don't normally do this, but I just want to ask, what are you thankful for? If you have something in your mind right now, shout it out. What are you thankful for in the congregation?
My wife.
Family.
Wife, family, friends,
job,
home, life,
freedom,
health. Think about these things, guys. All of us cannot say that God has not been good. God hasn't given us blessings in this life. So our attitude should be gratitude. And Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, it says, be anxious for nothing. So once again, going back to that, do not worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, and then we miss this part sometimes, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, sometimes we think we petition God, we pray to God, but we're not very thankful to God, right? We'll pray to Him, we'll ask Him to do these things, but we're not finding the peace in the prayer because we're not thankful. We're not grateful for what He's already done. We're not grateful that we can even go to Him and that He's actually going to listen to us. See, when we pray and when we petition the Lord, we are to do it with a grateful heart, with gratitude, with thanksgiving. So are you someone that's struggling with finding peace in your life right now? Do you have peace? Because many in this world are lacking finding peace. It's because they have not come to truly appreciate who their God and who their Heavenly Father is. They haven't seen God as the one who gives all these precious gifts. As it was said earlier, for the non-believer, who are they to be thankful for or to? Without a God, there's no one to be. It's just all random chance, a random accident. There are some that are blessed and fortunate, and there are others that just don't get very much in this life. No, we have a God who is good, and he promises to provide for his children. So our attitude then should be gratitude. Another thing I want to draw out then is this is a clear application then from the first point is that Thanksgiving is not seasonal, right? I love Thanksgiving. I'm glad that in November every year we get to have a time where people consciously think and meditate on being thankful. But we need to remember that Thanksgiving does not begin or end in November. Thanksgiving is not seasonal. As we look at the text, it says, I will give thanks to you forever. We are to be forever thankful to the Lord. And that means today, tomorrow, and into eternity when we are in the kingdom of God. We will be singing praises of thanks to the Lord forever. That's what David is seeing as he's writing and singing and saying this psalm, Psalm 30. He's saying, I know that I'm going to thank my God forever. And the thing is, when God is the reason for our thanksgiving, thanksgiving never ceases. Do you realize that? That's why we will be giving thanks forever. Because God never changes. It says God the Lord, He does not change. It says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because the one we worship is always good, He's never not going to be good. He's always going to love us. He's always going to be the God of grace and mercy. We can always be thankful for that. We can always be grateful that we have a God that doesn't change, that His character is impeccable. It's not going to change. But as I said, there are some, though, that are disappointed and they are dissatisfied because they have been placing their hope, they've been placing their thanks in the temporary joys of the world. And this really leads back to when we talked about the heavenly and the earthly treasures. Right? People are putting their hope, their joy, they're giving thanks for the temporary things. But we can find content, joy, and thanksgiving in Christ apart from this world. See, we're not attached to the things of the world. We are attached to Christ. And that's why our thanksgiving never has to waver. See, Jesus died for you yesterday. Jesus died for you today. He died for you tomorrow and every day after that. Would you be thankful if, say you were, you know, maybe you were walking across the street, someone rushes by, shoves you out of the way and gets hit by the car and they saved your life? Who here would be thankful for that? I'd be pretty grateful if someone sacrificed themselves for me. Well, here's the thing. Jesus, from the foundation of creation, knew He was going to sacrifice Himself. When we celebrate Christmas, right, the birth of Christ, the whole purpose of the birth, His life, was to die and sacrifice Himself for you. And it's so that you can have eternal life for those who turn from their sins and trust in Him. See, salvation is for us today, it was for us yesterday, and it's for our future. We can always be thankful because of Jesus Christ who gave us salvation. He gave us eternal life. The gospel is an eternal gospel. And I think we then can be grateful for that. And likewise, that means then our joy and our thanksgiving, it transcends our circumstances. See, the joy of the Lord, it does not cease when hardship comes, when difficulty arises. Rather, difficult seasons should not change anything when it comes to the thankfulness, the gratitude of the believer. We need to thank God on the mountain, and we need to thank God in the valley. We need to thank God in all of our circumstances, because as we see in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:10, what does it reveal? It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You can be blessed, or that word can be translated happy, for those who are being persecuted, finding difficulty, trouble, tribulation for those who hate them. David was experiencing this. He says, they are blessed, they are happy, they have true joy because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They have God and they have His kingdom, and they know eternally they will be worshiping and praising and thanking the Lord. But likewise, James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy, when you fall into various trials, various difficulties, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." What we see in James is that God will allow us to experience difficult seasons in our lives, but it's for our good. God will allow trials to actually strengthen us, give us endurance, perseverance, and it says that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If we want to be a complete, perfect, mature follower of Christ, we need to experience the difficulty. So God even uses the valleys of our lives for His good and for our good. So that's why we can recognize that Thanksgiving is not seasonal. We can thank God in the good times and the bad times. We can be blessed even in the midst of trials. So we see then our attitude should be gratitude. Thanksgiving is not seasonal. And the final thing that I'd like to share with you is that worship begins with a grateful heart. As followers of Christ, we need to check our hearts every day. We need to think to ourselves, are we cultivating a grateful heart? Are we finding ourselves with an attitude of gratitude? Are we seeing our thanksgiving being manifest throughout the seasons of our lives? Because if we are not, we are having an imperfect worship. We are giving worship that is not pleasing to the Lord. If we are not entering into His presence with thanksgiving, we are not giving good worship. And we see this actually in Psalm 100, verse 4. It says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." That's what we are called to do when we worship the Lord. We are to enter His presence with thanksgiving. We are to thank God for everything He does. So when we sing worship songs, when we come to church, right, when we serve the community, we must do it with a heart of gratitude, a grateful heart. Because if we do these things, as the Pharisees were doing, right, what were they doing? They were giving, they were praying, but they were fasting, they were doing these things, but their heart didn't have a heart of gratitude. They were doing the motions, but their heart wasn't in it. But we, when we come to worship the Lord, we must always check it and say, am I entering the presence of God with a grateful heart? Am I thankful for what He has done? Am I thankful for who He is? So we'd be praising God for who He is and what He has done in our life. And the final thing with this point of worship is that if we want to worship the Lord faithfully and in truth, we must recognize 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, which says, "Rejoice always, always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So if you want to know what is the will of God when it comes to our worship, it's to come to Him with a grateful heart. We are to come to God and recognize how good He is. God is a good God. I pray that we, as we go into this season and from now on, that we would thank God. Thank God. Take some time to just meditate on the good things that God has given you in this life. He is a good God. He's a good Father. And I pray that we would continue to worship Him with that truth. So our attitude should be gratitude. Thanksgiving is not seasonal, and worship begins with a grateful heart. Let us pray. Father, we come to You right now. We are just so humbled by Your goodness, by Your love, and by Your grace and mercy, that You give us a reason to rejoice and to give thanks every single day, every single minute, every single moment of our lives, Lord. I pray that we would cultivate this heart of gratitude, Lord, and that we would worship You in spirit and truth from here on out. We love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.